Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Robert Bellarmine. He's probably one you don't know really well. Some dioceses might, but he's not one of the saints that everybody turns to right away. He was a native of Tuscany. He was ordained a Jesuit priest in the year 1570. He spent most of his life in Rome, where he taught at the Roman College and wrote a number of things. The poor of the city considered him the new Poverello, a reference to St. Francis, to whom Robert had an intense devotion. And after he was made cardinal in 1599, Robert's cardinal's ring was frequently in pawn to provide funds for the needy. Think of that. He gave the costly drapes of his apartment to clothe the poor. Walls cannot catch cold, he remarked. He died on September 17, 1621. Brothers and sisters, read about this saint. Read about him. Get to know him a little better. Perhaps you don't even know of him, but it's time to do so. Bishop St. Robert Bellarmine, B-E-L-L-A-R-M-I-N-E. Listen to what he says. He has a lot to offer us. The first reading for today is taken from verses 1 to 11. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them, not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Paul was saying that he would definitely not, he had some pretty bad things in his reputation, but he was a man who loved God, who came to love God, who came to give up everything for God's love. That's what we can do, no matter where we are in life, to give up our sins, to turn, take them one at a time. Might take you a year or two. That's all right. Give up your sins. God will abundantly bless you. Psalm 118 tells us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He will give you grace. He will support you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You are my God. I give thanks to you. O my God, I extol you. Not myself. O my God, I extol you. Because he's the one who gives us the grace to repent, to turn away, to put aside our sins. And some of them are real patterns of sin and habits. And it takes time. Only take one at a time. I've said that to you so many times that I don't want you to go around deeply discouraged. I want you to see what the grace of God can do for you. Take one at a time. If you want to let me know how it works, let me know. You don't have to. Nobody wants to confess their sin. I don't think I would either. But if God has been particularly merciful to you, I'd love to hear about it. May God bless you abundantly for that. In the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, says this: A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at the table in the house of the Pharisees. So bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner. And Jesus said to him in reply, notice this, the Pharisee said this to himself, and Jesus said to him in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other owed 50. Since they were both unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which one of them will love him more? Simon said in reply, The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. He said to him, You have judged rightly. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. My goodness, brothers and sisters, so many times have we sinned. And oh, that was little, that doesn't matter. We excuse ourselves so many times. If we've committed a serious sin, we don't want anybody to know about it. We don't say anything. We try to hide it. Brothers and sisters, we can't hide it from God. He sees it. He sees every sin we have or will commit. Do we come to him as quickly as we can? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Even if you've done it 5 times, Lord, I'm sorry. You can say to the priest, I'm trying to break a habit here, and I am sorry. He'll understand. If I would understand, he would certainly understand. God knows us, and he loves us. Please, please don't try to excuse your sin. Please don't try to just hide it or put it under a bushel basket, so to speak. Don't do that. Nor do you have to trumpet it. Just acknowledge it to yourself and then take it to confession. And you'll be set free. Free. Please don't be afraid. Please. The Lord wants you free. He wants you free to love him. He wants you free to pour your heart out to him. He loves you. Oh, brothers and sisters, I so pray that you would heed those words, because God really wants to forgive. St. Robert Bellarmine also wrote, he was a Jesuit preacher, and he wrote this, Not only during his life, but even in the arms of death, from the pulpit of the cross, Christ preached to us words few in number but burning with love, most useful and efficacious, and in every way worthy to be engraved on the heart of every Christian, to be preserved there, meditated upon, and fulfilled literally and in need. Indeed, his first word is this, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This word contains the chief petition which the Son of God, as the advocate for his enemies, made to his Father, them. This word applied to all for those whose pardon Christ prayed. In the first place, it is applied to those who really nailed Christ to the cross and cast lots for his garments. It may also be extended to all who were the cause of our Lord's passion, and to proceed still farther to the first man and all his posterity who by their sins occasioned Christ's death. And thus, from his cross, our Lord prayed for the forgiveness of all his enemies. Therefore, our high priest Christ made a commemoration for all of us even before our birth in that most holy memento, if I may so speak, which he made in the first sacrifice of the cross, which he celebrated on the altar of the cross. What return then, O my soul, will you make to the Lord for all that he has done for you, even before you had a being? Our dear Lord saw that you also would one day rank yourself with his enemies, and though you asked not nor sought him, he prayed for you to his Father, not to lay your charge the fault of folly. Does it not therefore behoove you to bear in mind so sweet a patron and to make every effort to serve him faithfully in all things? Brothers and sisters, do we really know? We can say, well, I don't care, it doesn't matter. Yes, it will matter when you stand before God. It will. It will matter by life or death. It will. You want to ask God's forgiveness now, right now. Even before you walk to the confessional, just talk to God and ask him, Lord, please give me the grace and the courage. I may not be able to change my way of life right away, but I want to change it. Help me to change it. Go to confession weekly. Have the priest encourage you and uplift you, and he will. Brothers and sisters, we are so loved. Don't put it in a little box and say, oh, well, that probably is just a fairy tale about heaven anyway. I'll just take my chances. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please. And please know that I am praying for all of you. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. All of us do. But he will forgive. He will forgive us completely if we come to him and say, Lord, please forgive me for this. Sometimes it's hard to get those words out of your throat. But if you say it in the confessional, God will forgive. The load will be taken off your shoulders and you'll be free. Please, brothers and sisters, accept all the grace that God is reaching out to give you. He will hear you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.